This is Marketplace. I'm Rima Khreis. An argument can be made that for anything involving at least two parties, for things to be successful, there needs to be trust. And that is certainly true when it comes to banking. You know, we saw how the recent collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, even if momentarily, caused a lapse in trust, where many people found themselves thinking, wait, is my money safe? Am I good? But what does it look like when a population has truly lost all trust in the institutions that manage the economy? Emily Stewart is a business reporter for Vox Media, and she wrote about how that is the story in Argentina, a country with a troubled economic history caught in a boom-bust cycle. Emily, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
So I am fascinated by what is going on in Argentina. You lived there for several years. I know you were recently there. So I'd love to just start off with some of your general observations about how people in the country navigate the day-to-day economy.
So, I mean, for people who aren't familiar, one kind of consistent issue with Argentina's economy, at least over the past decades, is they have super high inflation. So to put this into some perspective, their annual inflation rate just hit 100%.
Wow.
Ours is 6%, so it's very high. Mm-hmm. And so basically what that means is to live in the economy there, you know, you have to be pretty savvy to survive in the economy there, because your money obviously is constantly losing value. And so that looks like a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You know, most people keep their money, if they can, in dollars instead of pesos, to the extent that they can save. Mm-hmm. To be clear here, a lot of people are unable to save. Mm-hmm. The government makes it really difficult to get dollars, so most people wind up on the black market, which they call the blue dollar.
Right.
A little bit counterintuitive. So to put this into, you know, some numbers, the official exchange rate is 200 pesos, about 200 pesos to $1. The real exchange rate, the blue dollar rate, is about, it's nearing 400. It's really about double.
Mm-hmm. Right. You write in the article, and you're making this point, which is that when you can't trust the bank, the currency, or anybody in charge, things can get pretty weird pretty fast. What are some of those weird things that you've observed?
I mean, it is just a situation where people really do have a lot of cash. You know, mm-hmm. I was there recently. A friend of mine sold his mother's house for over $100,000. That deal was all in cash dollars. Mm-hmm. And he and his brother put some of the money into the bank, and now the plan is to take it out. Mm-hmm. They put the money in to make sure that the dollars were real. And there are just kind of ways, big and small, you know, that this kind of changes the way that you have to live. You know, people will pay for things in a lot of installment plans, right? You do get discounts in cash a lot of the time there. And there is sort of a tacit agreement that that's because nobody's paying taxes, right?
Right.
You know, they have all different exchange rates. There are a lot of protests there a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And some of that's because unions and workers are constantly pushing for higher wages. It really is a situation of you know, a wage price spiral, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Prices keep going up. People need their wages to go up, and their wages just don't keep up.
Yeah, it's interesting. And then it feels like when you're operating in this way, and you know, make this point in the article, which is that you can't really think about the future. You're not saving. You're forever in the present.
Right. You know, that was what one historian I talked to said to me, was that, you know, you can't save. You can't really think about the future. And, you know, when I was living there, there were moments when the government would say, it's time to put your money in pesos. It's time to put your money in pesos. And, you know, I think a lot about, like, what if you did at that point? And now your money's worth so much less. Like, to put this into some context, when I moved to Argentina in 2008, the exchange rate was 3-1. Mm-hmm. And that's 15 years, but that's only 15 years, right? Like, that's a huge amount of devaluation. And so, you know, I think sometimes in the U.S. and, you know, other countries, we don't think about what it really is like to really not be able to trust that if you put your money in the bank, that it's going to be there.
Well, yeah, that leads into my next question. So obviously, we are not saying that what is going on in Argentina can be compared to what's going on here. But what are the larger learnings? How can we use this case to think about our own economy?
I mean, obviously, like you said, we can't make a one-to-one comparison. Mm-hmm. But I think it really is important to remember that the confidence and trust really underpin our financial mm-hmm. system. You know, we can debate about whether it was a good idea for the federal government to bail out some of these banks that were in trouble, whether or not it was a bailout, if it's a good idea for the Fed to loan money to banks, et cetera, et cetera. But at the same time, I think you have to play out the counterpoint of what happens if people really can't trust that their deposits are there. Like, do we want to live in a world where people are hiding tens of thousands of dollars in their homes and in their mattresses? I think the answer there is no, mm-hmm. right? We want to be able to trust our institutions and trust our banks, and it's important to think about.
Mm-hmm. Emily Stewart is a business reporter for Vox.com, which is where you can check out her article, What It Looks Like When a Country Doesn't Trust Its Banks. Emily, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.